I think that of all of the seminars that we've had, we can say that most response from the seminars has come in the area of pastoral visitation. This would indicate probably that most assemblies feel that it is the greatest lack, and it has the greatest possibility for immediate results. Now, whether this is true or not, this is the response of brethren everywhere. This is good. However, considering the large number of people who have attended the seminars, the visitation efforts are still relatively few. Those that there exist are not systematic. They're still erratic. And they comprise or have as component little or no training. They just do it. Now, we're glad to do it, but the whole burden of what we're trying to do is to train. I want to see the value of training. Any area of the Lord's work, you need to see the value of training. We have too much come to the idea that we just go out and do it and the Holy Spirit does it. Jesus trained the 12. Now, he wouldn't have done it if they didn't need training. There's nothing unspiritual about training. Training is not an effort to usurp the work of the Holy Spirit. We've had people think that. If you try to share, and they say, well, you're trying to take over the work of the Holy Spirit. I think that we're to be beyond the point in Christian maturity where we feel that we want to be the ones to limit the Holy Spirit by saying the Holy Spirit cannot and will not lead until we get up on the platform to speak. Or we cannot and will not lead till we get in the living room and begin to talk to somebody. You see, that's a very limited idea. Recent issue of Kindred Spirit, put out by Dallas Seminary, had an article on Dr. Ironside, and one of the students came to him one time and he said, oh, Dr. Ironside said I just found a scripture and it said, you know, that I don't have to prepare any more than when I get up to speak, the Lord will put a word in my mouth. He'll fill my mouth. And he said, that's right, son, he'll fill it. He'll fill it with the east wind. And in a real sense, that's what he's going to fill our mouths with, if we don't think about what we're going to do when we get in there. To give you some general things here. First of all, to have a good visitation program, we need a strong spiritual purpose. Real determination. We're going to do it. Somebody told me tonight, we're going to start it this fall. We'll start it with two people, me and one other person. I applaud that. Because that's a purpose to start. We wait till we have a multitude, till the light of the moon is right and all that. We're uncertain. We won't get going. To train even a few people systematically, we need to see that this takes, visitation takes manpower, man hour, like anything done for God. It has to be allotted for that purpose. We have to set up a priority that we're going to do it. And people are going to have to set aside time to do that, and they're going to have a purpose, God willing, to carry through the whole thing. One of the things that when we set up a training program is that you'll notice in here, we have a commitment sheet and an accountability record. And when you go to the opening night, when we finish an orientation, you actually sign a commitment in the sight of the Lord. You keep it in your own book. It isn't they give it to us. That's in their own book. That's between them and the Lord. But they're committing to this. It's not they're just dropping in to pick up a few ideas and drop out when there's something else to do. That's what we mean by those who take part have a sense of purpose. We want committed people in this. The second thing, by way of preliminaries, to recognize the need for significant adult outreach, which is a way of developing prospects for calling. There are two sides of visitation. Visitation on Christians. We call it pastoral visitation. Visitation on non-Christians. We call that evangelistic visitation, although what we do for a non-Christian may be of a help nature. We may give them food or help them in a practical way. But all that we do certainly comes from a desire to see them one to Christ, doesn't it? We may not go over there and preach the gospel, But in a sense, with all unsaved people, our purpose would be, in some sense, evangelism. So you have two kinds, and we have sections on both in our manual. We'll primarily concentrate on pastoral here, but we have both types of training in our manual here. Now, we say adult outreach. One of the things is that we have made children's work, unfortunately, and in many cases, a substitute for adult evangelism. And what that does is deceives us about what we're really doing. Children's work, however scriptural it might be, was never intended by the Lord to be a substitute for evangelizing adults. Look at Jesus himself. He may have taken children in his arms and blessed them and said, "Let the little children come to me." But you don't find the Lord Jesus Christ carrying on children's work and making it his substitute for evangelism, do you? You find the majority of his work is with adults. And the majority of our outreach work properly should be adults, which because the majority of his work was with adults. Because we have ceased to do effective adult outreach, one of the reasons that we're kidding ourselves that we're evangelistic is because we do children's work or canceled. We should stop really deceiving ourselves about that. We must have effective adult outreach in order to do it. There are a number of different ways, whether we use survey, door-to-door, whether we do various activities, whatever it is. The most effective outreach system is to develop the believers, to teach them how to share their faith as a way of life, so that the people in the assembly are systematically and regularly sharing their faith wherever they are. That's still the best single method. But we have not trained our people and motivated our people to do that, which is a weakness among us. But we must have that kind of adult outreach, because otherwise we're going to be very limited in visitation. See, that's evangelism. Number three, an improved effort to build up the saints and care for their souls. Pastoral calling is one aspect only of this thrust. Visitation is not something that can exist out on the end of a stick by itself. It's something that meshes with all the other things that we do in the life of the assembly. It's not a wonder-working cure. It's just one vital part of our whole work. And it should fit in to a real concern on the part of the leadership to build up the saints. What for? Ephesians 4:12. What is it? What for? What do we build up the saints for? To do what? That they might do the work of ministry. That's training. For the minister, for the saints, to build them up that they might do the work of the minister. One of the things that I look at each year is whether we got more people doing the work of the ministry than we had last year. And too many years we spent the same guys doing the work that we're doing last year and the year before. Then we're not functioning according to Ephesians 4. We don't have more saints to do the work in the ministry. The gifts are not being used properly. Now, if this is what our goal is and we're working this way, then you will see that the pastoral calling fits into that. And we'll have a sense of purpose when we make a pastoral call. We'll understand that pastoral calling is not socializing. Pastoral call is not checking up on absentees only. Pastoral calling is not just to get around on a circle. Pastoral calling is designed to minister to souls, to do the work of the Lord with Christians. Wherever Christians are, at some point they need to be assisted and encouraged to move forward along the path that the Lord has for them and develop. We understand this is a goal. We'll have a sense of purpose when we go. And we'll begin to understand all these things in here where you're asking questions and you're analyzing what they say and what they do and you're probing and you're identifying evasion and you're assessing what the problem is and their progress. You'll understand that all of these areas are directed, you see, toward a pastoral, a loving pastoral and scriptural purpose. This is a ministry, just as much as preaching is a ministry. I wouldn't ever preach if I didn't think it would benefit souls and do something in their lives. See, well, I don't want to make a call unless I think that when we leave here that something has happened in their lives through the call. We expect something to happen. Now look in your manuals and we'll look briefly at some things here. Sometimes people say, even after an hour and a half seminar, well, we did not know what to do. We didn't know how to get started. In fact, we flew several hundred miles this year to an area where they said, well, we got it all. We don't know how to get started. We don't know how to get started. Okay? Decided to end all that. We got a diagram. Right here in the front. You say, well, I'm not an elder. Okay, wonderful. We got a place for you in the diagram. You're not an elder. You're either an elder or not elder. One of the two. You can't, you know, that's all there is. And you're somewhere in there. Tells you exactly what to do. And you work with the leaders either way, even if they're resistant, even if they're apathetic, even if they drag their feet, even if they go to sleep when you're talking to them. Tells you what to do. And then it funnels down into an action plan. And you ask certain questions. And those questions need to be answered. And as you answer those questions one at a time, you see, you'll begin to see what needs to be done. You want to ask what needs to be done, you say, we've got to have a leader. We have to have someone to help the leader. We have to have a question of how we're going to train the people. We got to know who we're going to visit. We got to know what we're going to need to train. And we've got to have some kind of plan. You understand? All this. When these questions are answered, and they are subject to an answer within your own assembly, then you will know exactly how to get started. The only thing this does not supply, of course, is motivation. We've talked about motivation in the starting session. Is there anyone that can say on this diagram that you really don't know how to start? In general principle. Any questions about how to start? Just how to start. Okay, turn the page to the next one there, and that's factors in systematic visitation. Notice it says here at the heading, any assembly can be helped by even a small measure of pastoral visitation, but by what kind of believer? Spiritual believer. See, this is not a work for the carnal corral. See, just like in witnessing, carnal believers make terrible witnesses. Terrible witnesses. We have to really be concerned about building the spiritual life of the believers. And really, in visitation or leadership, we do not want people who are uncommitted or carnal doing that. We want to work with them on their life first. But we don't want people in youth leadership. We do not want people in visitation. We do not want people in cell group leadership. I don't even want them leading the singing. They're not committed Christians. That's bad news. Can't get anywhere that way. But even a small measure of pastoral visitation by spiritual believers can help. If we begin in a small but thorough way, that's probably the best way. If the assembly is to make real progress and gain maximum benefit from pastoral efforts, there should be a definite goal and a plan to reach those goals. The plan can be 2 to start in October and double, maybe, by February or March. Maybe by the end of the year you got 4. Doing regular, systematic visitation in which there's been training. So that by next fall, you'll have 4 trainers. That's very modest. Well, if you do that, you keep doing it, you'll have a good core. But we already know, you say, who wants to come out and do visitation? 20 people raise their hands. And they all stumble out there and then you give them a bunch of cards. There's no training, no experienced trainers, and send them out, and then you're all going to crash. We know that. This won't work. You can't even train a large group of people effectively that way. Remember, too, that most good training doesn't occur really in a classroom. It occurs out on a field call. They really learn by doing, observation, by discussion. Factors in an effective program. This is looking at it another way. The selection of the leaders, the trainers, and the trainees. In other words, if you get the right people to start with, makes a tremendous difference. If you don't have the right people to start with, then you got problems. So this selection, notice the word select, is in there. The second factor is the effectiveness of your training and sharing activities. Notice that a part of this is to develop discipleship among participants. You stop and think about it. A person who really knows nothing about Christian discipleship, it's really a sad thing for him to try to answer these questions, which are on the visitation report. What are the major problem areas hindering the visited? First is lack of commitment. But suppose he's not committed sacrificially to the Lord. Priorities wrong. How could he assess that if his own priorities are wrong? Bad attitude. How can he spot that in another person when he doesn't have a right attitude? Deteriorating relationship. He can't even get along with his wife. Self-will or lack of discipline in his own life. You see, if we have not faced these issues, we cannot assess the situation in the life of another person. This is on your visitation report, which is at the end of the 12-week program. You can look at it later. We even have a quiz and everything else on there. But that's simply to say that there cannot be any perceptiveness by the person in this area, unless in some measure we're enjoying victory there ourselves. So discipleship is a matter of concern. Number three, effective calling is used to change lives. This again restates a little bit what we said above about this is a ministry, just like preaching. It isn't just administrative function. This is a spiritual ministry. We're out in the home to minister. Sometimes it's the ministry of the gospel. A great many people in our assembly has been won by our visitation, how they come to Christ. Many people have been turned around in their life and made significant decisions as Christians because of home visitation. You're really there. You're eyeball to eyeball. You're discussing the issues. You're right down to the nitty-gritty. You can let things go on and on and on. You come to meetings. So when you're there face to face, right there together, and you're on the critical issues, and you know what you're doing, and the Spirit of God is controlling it, things can happen. And that's your objective. Learning to sense needs and diagnose problems. Penetrating barriers in front. Do you know how to do that? And break through those walls, that double talk, pious terminology, and how to break through there. Learning how to use the Word in the power of the Spirit of God. Suppose you have an upside-down relationship in the wife and the husband set up there in a home. You know what Scripture is? Suppose you have unruly children. Suppose you have them saddled down by debt. You really know what Scriptures you're going to use? Because one of your principles is that you always have the Word of God between you and the person that you're dealing with. It's not the fact that you and I have the right to rebuke another person. You know, all of us are to be called to account to the standard of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that says the borrower is servant. What? It'll end there. Owe no man anything. Things like that. The curse of debt. The Word of God says that. It's when you minister, you know. Person's head over heels in debt. They can't can't function properly, can't pay their bills, can't give to God. That can lead you to a situation where you sit around in this ridiculous exercise with scissors, cutting up a person's credit cards, throwing them in the round file. And if you gotta do that, you gotta do it. Making up budgets. Looking at budgets. Financial affairs of many Christians in the assembly is a shambles. A shambles. Really. Disgrace. That's just one phase of many. You can use the Word of God. Challenge and bring people to decision. Know how to do that? The use of prayer in all aspects. Learning to be tactful and showing concern. These are sensitive issues. You can go in, you know, use everything you use like a blunt instrument. People may dislike the message that we bring, but they should be brought to confess that we are tactful. We confront with the Word of God. And then use the follow-up of various kinds. You can understand from all this that this is a vital ministry. Any questions about these factors, what we're aiming at, the kind of calling that we're aiming at here? Don't be hesitant if you do. So now we've covered, we know what to do, and secondly, what it takes to be effective. Start praying. Now let's look through the manual help here. We'll take a quick trip through the manual tonight, and you'll be familiar for tomorrow. The brief introductory word of explanation, and in that, on that very first page, a word of explanation, is a suggested schedule. Okay? Notice that we like to start at 6:45 with prayer. Devote about 10 minutes to sharing experience from last week's visitation. We use prearranged testimonials. It's very encouraging when we share that someone received Christ or that there were significant decisions made. And then for 15 minutes to have opening ministry. In our case, it's directly, but you can use the tapes here. I want to say that I bought 12 sets of tapes up here representing the introductory lesson taped live out of each night so that you not only have the notes, the basic notes of the message here that you can fill in as you listen to the tape, but afterwards, the worksheet that's geared to that. We'll look through that. And if you want these tapes and if they'll help you, you're welcome to them. Then the workshop. We have a workshop sheet. This is basically to help assimilate and work through our head some of the things that we've talked about. I really feel there's a lot of need to strengthen this. I hope that this year we will develop a tape with a stop button and a tone. And we'll enable people to play it and you'll get a situation. Hit the stop button and say, okay, now what do? Okay, and you grind on that. Then hit the start button and you'll get at least one possible way to proceed. We hope to develop that this year is to give people more role-playing experience here. Because we can't always arrange in the field a specific demonstration of the lesson tonight. Hope to increase that this year. We hope that the trainer will be looking for opportunities to demonstrate whatever the area is that you discuss, or that you'll have a chance to use it, and then when it's all over, you'll review. Alright? Because you need to work on to develop to practice these various skills. You learn to do here by doing. There are a total of, I think it's three or four back in front, and they're numbered segments to go to each of the pastoral. I brought up 12 sets with me. Okay? Yes. You play the part of it that related to this lesson. With respect to the evangelism training, we'll point out that our evangelism training is geared to take advantage of the Kennedy Evangelism Explosion Program. Not that it's the only one, but it's a proven one. It does the job. And the Kennedy tapes are also available. So you use the Kennedy tape plus the book, and we have some keys and guidelines so that that's broken up into a 12-week program. We'll provide the keys and tell you what to do each week in a simplified form so that you can run how to make an evangelistic call on one side, how to make a pastoral call on the other side. If you have a small program, you run first one and then the other. Okay, so there are two aspects to that. Now let's look at the, gone through there what the typical program is. After the workshop, after 7:35, then we go out and we call. We don't start calls, any call after 9. But we will continue a call as late as is necessary as long as we want it there. Normally we're through by 10 o'clock. But occasionally you can get into it and it does last longer. So that's a typical calling night program and what you do. Look over here at the index page. Notice you have a, yes sir. Well, we've done telephone calls. Yes. What do you do on telephone calling is the question. Particularly in Here's Life, we adapted Here's Life to a considerable extent. We made 3,000 of them in our district. They were essentially gospel presentation, but we did use them to set up appointments for our people in the home rather than, we were shooting for appointments in the home rather than pray. And we had a lot of appointments. But this is not geared to help you do that. This would probably help you in the sense in talking to people. It would improve you in things like questions and introductions and transitions. But this is definitely is designed for face-to-face work. But these would help you in telephone calls. All right, you see there are a total of 12 weeks and a quiz. Let's look at them week by week. Just a quick trip through tonight. We won't go all of them. Read through it. Pastoral visitation, giving you the biblical basis and the goals, the organization, the source of all your calls, and your three basic preliminary steps in making the call. The preparation at the door and the initial conversation. Those are administrative and somewhat routine, but we feel that in general is worth a night. Preliminary consideration. You will find as you get into it that it does matter that you even teach people how to conduct themselves when they go to the door. Certain things like that. That we want to use appropriate form and courtesy. We don't want to frighten people by standing too close to the door. We don't want to be blundering when we're there. Very simple things that you can share there that will be helpful. And if you at least standardize simple and courteous way of making approach, you're better off than just having people just blunder up there and do it in the old way. All right, if you will show, see on the back the worksheet for that week. Here are the 7 major goals that we usually give on orientation night. Why you do visitation. And then following, we will not have time for a workshop that first night. That brings you to week 2, and you look at attitudes, and you have a workshop attached to that. The reason we devote this to attitudes is because we feel that the attitude of the person as he goes is crucial. We need to have right attitudes about what we're doing. If we have poor ones, we'll not be affected. We look at some brief do's and don'ts in the whole thing. And we trust that they will be useful. Okay? And a workshop. Well, number 3, the transition. We spent a week studying transitions. The reason for this is that many people have great difficulty in moving from ordinary conversation, which is the way you began, to spiritual conversation in the target area. You must learn to change gears. And that step is called the transition phase. Some people just blunder all around and they never can get it out of grandma into high gear. And so we look at that. Definite things to do. And a workshop. Week 4, we began something that we consider very important. We'll show you a training film on that tomorrow. We'll give you an experience of a typical training film. We'll show it on closed-circuit TV here that we brought up to give you an idea of what it's like. We'll see in that the importance of learning how to ask good questions. This is the great method of the Lord Jesus. Beginning in Genesis, God is a great question asker. And you will find that He was the greatest. None ever did it better than He did. We learned to study the questions of Jesus. Why He asked them. What He got at. Learn to do this. He was the master teacher. And we want to study His method. It's so important we devote 2 weeks to the subject of questions. First, the questions of Jesus. And then the questions that we might ask. Alright? That brings us, number 6 is analyzing a problem situation. People do not make progress in their Christian life. They're bogged down for some reason, not for no reason. There's a reason. We really shouldn't be too mystified as we study the Word and deal with people. We'll understand their reason. Actually, this will help us in our ministry. Because whatever the reasons are that hinder people from following the Lord and serving Him should be the reasons that are the thrust of our ministry, right? Most of our public ministry should be hitting people where they are, not where they're not. We know that there are certain fundamental things that hinder people in their Christian life. We need to recognize what they are. And we need to recognize them as present in a person. We can't minister to them if we don't know where they are. Okay? We'll look at that. Have a workshop on it. Week 7, hiding and evading. Professing Christians become masters, really, of footwork. They know all the right answers. They know all the pious phrases. But they're not doing it. And we've got to learn that man has been a hider ever since the Garden of Eden. And we ought to be able to spot that fig leaf when we go to them. Okay? Workshop on that. Number 8. The great ministry of calling is to encourage people. Ministry of encouragement. There are a lot of people around that have the unspiritual ministry of discouragement. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, there were always those who went around discouraging the people of God. We want to go around encouraging the people of God. So we need to look and see how to do that. Number 9, analysis and direction. Look at ways and means of analyzing situations, principles. How will we go about telling them how certain things are? How things are moving? My thought is whenever I visit or talk to somebody, I want to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit's doing with this person. You know, if the Holy Spirit isn't working properly, I'm not going to get anywhere. And you aren't either, no matter what we do. So let's figure out where they are with respect to the dealing of the Holy Spirit. See His evidence, okay? Week 10, using the Word of God in visitation. We'll talk about the Word of God here is the sword of the Spirit. A good visitor knows how to use the Word. And so, for convenience, we've even put all the main verses. Tonight, we were riding up here tonight, and two of the brethren in the car said they knew people that had memorized the entire Bible. Now, there are approximately 187,000 verses in the Bible. Can you imagine that? And the man said that his review pattern was 600 verses an hour. He spent 3 hours a day reviewing. Taking 3.5 months just to review every verse in the Bible. Isn't that staggering? Think of that, memorizing 187,000 verses. Makes me want to take a headache tablet just to even think of all that memory work. God bless them, you know. Well, I don't know, there's about 100 of them that we could get a handle on, really, in visiting. And when you can cover attitudes and guidance and family and financial and church and growing and sanctification verses, why, you got a good stock of them. You can really use them. Now, week 11 is the duties of trainers. We've got to tell our trainers what to do, how to do it. And we will distribute at the end of week 11 a crib sheet that shows you how to study for your final. We're the only outfit that will tell you every question that we're going to ask on the quiz and give you the answer. Send you a crib sheet home. And you come in, and the next week, you pass a quiz. See? Yeah. We don't care what you... We want you to study it. We want you to make 100. We want you to know everything on that sheet, because the final week will tell you that that's the sheet we use for the visitation report. This gives us practice, review, of what we're trying to teach, to carry it out on those calls. So they begin to look for those things, to do those things, because they've got to complete a report on each call, see whether they did or they didn't. The next section is the evangelism training notes. As you'll notice, turn one sheet and look sideways. That is geared to use the Kennedy Evangelism Explosion book, and I brought a copy of that along to show you, and the tape. It'll show you, there's a 12-week program right there. I'll take you right through it. It'll show you what memory verses you do, what things you have to know, what the trainee does, the whole ball of wax right there. And there's no doubt as to what to do each week. Following that, a very simple outline for sharing the gospel. These are the key things that you memorize. This is basically, this outline is what the people are expected to memorize as they go. A reminder sheet on calling. A worksheet on what would you say. 3 help sheets on preparing a testimony. We want to teach our people how to prepare a testimony. When you try to lead people to Christ, a very effective way is learning how to write and deliver in an orderly way a good testimony. Notice after that, starting with peace with God, we have given you the key sheet we also use in our personal evangelism training program. You will see in there a sample track to share the gospel and typical questions and answers. You notice a diagram. It says, when a hearing. What this is designed to do is to steer the personal worker away from plowing ahead through all the points, no matter what the signals are. See, if you're determined to, you can run any person through a booklet and get them to pray. But we don't want to do that. And this was the diagram that will tend to show you when to back off. Look on the back, outlining the gospel. There are all the essential points of the gospel organized under 4 headings. The next thing says, using the Bible in witnessing. Here are the basic witnessing verses that you need in personal evangelism. Answering those questions, being an effective witness, the kind of person you should be. The next question, common questions, the 7 most common questions asked by non-Christians, and how to answer them, based on Paul Little's book, How to Give Away Your Faith. How to develop the proper attitudes in personal witnessing, and a sheet on key verses and questions pertaining to the gospel. Okay? That's a trip through your book. If you have time in your spare time before tomorrow, you might think about that action workshop in there. We'd like you to note down the present program you have in your assembly. Maybe we can confer and to discuss some of the things that you're doing. Okay, that's a trip through it. You get started tomorrow. And I think that you can agree, if with the help and the tools that we have here, if you have a genuine desire to have a visitation program, you can do that when you come out of this workshop, okay? Father, we want to thank you for the Word of God. we pray that with seriousness of purpose we may well prepare to learn to visit the people, saved and unsaved, within our sphere. May Jesus say to us in a coming day, whether we were in prison or hungry or naked or whatever we were, that he will say to me, say to you, you visited me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes this side of the tape. To continue listening, fast forward the cassette to the end and begin listening on side 2 of this tape.